Joining me now, special guest, Pensacola native, Roy Jones Jr. is joining the program. How are you doing today, Roy?
I'm good, my brother. How you doing?
I'm blessed, and I'm so happy that you were able to make it in today. There's a couple things that we'll dive into, but first things first, again, a pleasure for you taking the time to be here, and our listeners, again, Roy Jones Jr., former boxer, heavyweight champion, middleweight champion, Olympic medalist, and now International Boxing Hall of Famer. You've got all these different accolades. How does it feel to be included in this group where you're in the Boxing Hall of Fame with all those greats?
It feels amazing, man. It's a wonderful feat. It's one of the things that you look for, that you hope one day at the end of your career that you're considered a Hall of Famer, because if you're a Hall of Famer, that means you really had an impact on that particular sport that you played in.
Is there a particular part that you enjoyed most about boxing, whether it be the training, it'd be just being able to get in the ring with somebody and go toe-to-toe?
I think I enjoyed the traveling more than anything, because okay. As an amateur, you got to travel a lot, and it was something that would have never happened had I not been boxing. Back at that time, unless you made it big enough to play college football or whatever, you didn't really go far. Mm. Maybe in the state, but that was about it, you know. Boxing carried me from state to state throughout the country. As I got open, I got to go over to other countries, so it gave me an opportunity to travel the world. And that was probably the most impressive thing about boxing for me.
What was the best country or one of your favorite countries to go and visit?
My favorite country to go and visit probably was Australia. I really enjoyed Australia. It was different, and it was good for me because they spoke great English.
Yeah, right.
So you didn't have to make any adaptations for the style of language that you chose. So
sure.
99% of the people in Australia speak English, so it was all good.
Is that one of the things that you miss the most about boxing? If there was one thing that you miss the most and one thing that you don't particularly miss about your boxing time, what would that be?
I don't miss getting hit, that's
right.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I do miss getting the opportunity to entertain my fans and to be able to show people what this guy from the small town called Pensacola, Florida can do for you. Through the grace of God. So that's my biggest thing.
What is one of the, as you mentioned, and a Pensacola native, how much pride do you take, not only in your boxing career, but even now to represent Pensacola?
I take a lot of pride to represent Pensacola, because just like if it wasn't for me being from Pensacola and people not thinking in the beginning that I could make it from Pensacola, I probably would not have made it. But, it's like a lot of things I didn't get the opportunity to say at my induction ceremony, because I had some different things that had my mind a little shook. I'm still a competitor. So when people like Floyd Mayweather get up there and say I'm the best ever, it kind of takes my mind to a whole nother place. My intent was to go up and start my interview out, my induction out, like I started my fights out. First mm-hmm. thing I used to do was thank God. Then I want to let everybody know that Pensacola in the house, and I really meant to do that, but Floyd got up there talking crazy and completely took my mind somewhere else.
Yeah.
You hear me? So I got off track with my original speech, and you don't have time if you don't write it down. You don't really have time to recover and think about what you were thinking. But that was my intent, was to make sure I see a Pensacola in the house still, because that's what I do.
Absolutely. Again, joined by Roy Jones Jr., former boxer, Pensacola native, Hall of Famer now. So you had 47 knockouts in your career, 66 wins. Is there any one of those knockouts that particularly you're very fond of and the one that you would consider the best, I guess?
Just one over Montel Griffin, because that was my first loss as a professional. Mm. And truthfully, I feel like it was wrongly enforced, because I was disqualified. And there were guys before me that had the same style of instances that never got disqualified. And if you go back and look at the fight, really, if the referee gives me the command, stop, I don't throw another punch, because now you're acknowledging that you're considering him down and I can walk away from him. Because if you say stop, you saying, okay, he down. I didn't hit him with a punch that knocked him down. He just kind of went down on his own. He already ain't but 5'6 or 5'7. Mm. I don't have time to look down at his knee and see if he down. So I tap him. The referee still don't say nothing. So I'm saying, so you're not considering him down? Okay. So I hit him a little bit harder. He look at the ref, then he fake like he's out. Then he falls down face first. That's because he was quitting and trying to get out of there.
Mm.
You understand?
Yeah.
So the second fight, in the midst of all that, he also talked trash about me. Between fights, when you lost, you won my titles with your face in the mat. So that kind of had me feeling some type of way.
And sure.
That revenge match was the only time I think I went into a fight to hurt somebody, but that's been settled, so it's all good now.
Is that one of those things, like, and we hear this in sports, breaking the code or whatever, where if an opponent does that, where they are they want out and they intentionally try to do something, is that like breaking a sort of code of boxing? You know, if you get in the ring, you're going to go toe-to-toe with me, and if I knock you out, then that's great. If you knock me out, then as long as it's, you know, as long as it doesn't break the code.
Don't break the code. What broke the code was when you went out on your face and then you talk about like you beat me and you
right.
didn't. That's what broke the code.
So at what point in your youth did you realize this is what I want to do and I want to be a professional boxer and I'm willing to put in the time and the effort and all of my energy into making this actually happen?
It's crazy because one of the problems we're having in this world right now that people don't realize is that most little boys, when they're born, their first idol is their own father.
Mm.
And being that my father was my idol, he loved boxing. And I didn't even realize that he was boxing until I got 13. But he was watching Muhammad Ali fights. And as he was watching Muhammad Ali fight, he was so mesmerized by the things that Muhammad Ali was doing that I was like, you know what? If he likes that, I can do that if somebody showed me how to do it, because I have the same mentality as that guy he's watching on that TV.
Yeah.
I have the same mentality that Muhammad Ali has. I'm never going to get mad, and I'm going to aggravate people all day. That's just what I did anyway. So I felt like if he teach me or somebody teach me how to use my hands, I can mesmerize my father the same way because I can do that. So I knew at 5 years old that I wanted to box.
At what point did you realize what a stance you were going to take as well? Is that something that just comes comes natural to you? Is that something that you were coached up on?
When you say what stance, what you mean?
Like southpaw,
Southpaw means you're left-handed. Orthodox means you're right-handed. Nowadays, some guys try to train right-handed fighters to fight southpaw because southpaws are such an issue. But back then, whatever your strong hand was,
that was what you did.
Yeah, that determined what side you was gonna fight from.
So, before we got on, I was asking you what you do, and you said you train fighters. Is there any particular pride that you take in that? How much do you enjoy that? Is that what you're dedicating most of your time to?
I'm dedicating mostly all of my time to that.
Okay,
and I'm trying to actually figure out a way now to instill what I know and what I did in some of these younger fighters. And if I can get them to understand it, I'll be back in the Hall of Fame again as a trainer.
Is there any particular young boxer, whether they're up and coming or whether you think they haven't quite made it big, who you've got your eyes on, whether it's somebody who you're training or somebody who you've just recognized over the course of the last few years of watching boxing?
Several guys I got my eyes on. There's one guy by the name of Devin Haney, who the people just found out about last weekend. There's another guy by the name of Jaron Ennis. He's a very good-looking welterweight. I think he's going to do some very spectacular things. Of my own, I got, you know, Kevin Newman, Chris Eubanks, Andrew Murphy, Zachariah Lewis. The list goes on. I got quite a few of them that are going to do things. But Andrew Murphy and Zachariah Lewis both reside here in Pensacola. Kevin Newman is here when he can be. Shout out to my man Chris O'Neill of Dance Century. And I got a few guys that are going to make a little noise. But I think, you know, for the young prospects from Pensacola, I'm looking at Andrew. Well, he's from Washington, but he lives in Pensacola now. Andrew Murphy and Zachariah Lewis would be the main two coming from here.
So I think this is an interesting conversation that always comes up when boxing is mentioned is MMA.
Yep.
And how do you think MMA has changed the way that we look at boxing? Do you think it's done a lot of damage to it? How do you see the future of boxing here over the next maybe 5-10 years with all the popularity that's coming with MMA?
To me, man, MMA only did the best thing it could have did for boxing, which was make boxing have to tighten up.
Mm.
Because now with MMA, it makes it easier because they only have one person that's over the whole UFC. So that one person can determine who fights who, when, where, how, and why. In boxing, we don't have that. We have several different individual promoters, some whom which will not even work together. And those situations deny us sometimes of top fights or fights that the fans want to see. Like right now, we're still in denial of an Errol Spence versus Terrence Crawford fight. Although this is about to happen, I won't believe it until the first bell rings. But that's the type of thing that has hurt boxing. Now that the UFC has come along and MMA is making these guys fight one another, they're getting more fans because fans are getting the fights that they want. So if boxing is going to keep up, boxing has to make some type of transition and also start giving people the fights that they want, or the UFC or MMA will leave them behind.
So growing up, is there any particular boxer who you idolized and you tried to, whether it be Muhammad Ali, like you said, in your reference, that was your dad watching him. Is there anybody, was he a big influence on you? Was there somebody else who you took after, whether it be interest-wise or just in how you boxed, you looked for the way that others did?
There was a lot of them that I took a lot from. The main one, and first and foremost, being Muhammad Ali, and he'll always be the greatest in my book, above all of us. But there was also a Mexican fighter by the name of Salvador Sanchez that I learned a lot from. I also learned a lot from Sugar Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns, Roberto Duran, Marvin Hagler, Wilfred Benitez, Alexis Arguello, and the list goes on. Eusebio Pedroza, the list goes on. So there was a lot of guys that I stole little nuggets from. I figured out what made them so spectacular. Mm-hmm. What was the one thing that made those people different? Like, for instance, Tommy Hearns had a great right hand. Eddie Mustafa Muhammad had the best left liver shot of anybody I've seen. I took that. Matthew Saad Muhammad had that comeback. Like, he'd lose the first 8 or 9 rounds of a fight and come back and knock you out in round 13. I learned that. It's just Wilfred Benitez was the best defensive fighter of that time. I learned a lot of that. So it was a lot of things that I learned from different guys. The one characteristic that made them be considered as a great, I stole a lot of those characteristics and put them all in one.
Right.
So now when you watch Roy Jones Jr. in his prime fight, you saw a little bit of all of those guys.
Hence the reason why you're known as one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the history of boxing.
Covered more weight pound-for-pound than any other fighter ever in the history of boxing successfully.
Again, speaking with Roy Jones Jr., a Pensacola native, Hall of Famer now, renowned as one of the best boxers of all time. You had a fight with Mike Tyson there a couple years ago. Do you think exhibition fights are good for boxing because they're involving names like yourself and Mike Tyson, so some of these other big-time names in boxing? Or do you think that you'd like to see, like the Terrence Crawford fights, you'd like to see those ones that you're talking about where and not only is it legends, but it's others who are in their primes who are looking to become one of those legendary guys like yourself?
Well, quite naturally, you want to see the young guys in their prime fight first because they can go all out. They don't have nothing to be concerned about. The older guys doing the exhibitions, you want to keep it kind of careful with the exhibitions because some guys will go crazy and try to remember their heydays and try to hurt the other guy. Well, you don't really want to see that happen, but it does happen sometimes. We saw Vitor Belfort do that with Evander Holyfield. So you got to be careful how you match guys because some guys will go out there and try to take a guy out when the whole point of making an exhibition is so that you guys can go out and show people glimpses of you guys' old days, but not to go out and try to necessarily tear each other's head off.
Right.
So me and Mike were able to go out there and we went. He don't know number one speed, so I knew that. But we were able to handle it and not go crazy with it, which was good. And you know, you would hope to see that everybody do that. And because of the namesake, so many people are going to pay attention and so many people were entertained. So many people really enjoyed the fact that me and Mike shared the ring and nobody got hurt.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful thing. And people got their money's worth.
Absolutely.
They saw glimpses of my old hand speed. They saw glimpses of Tyson banging, trying to tear my rib cage out. They saw a lot of things that they would see if either one of us were in the ring for real. So it's like a throwback from the past type of thing with the exhibitions. You want to see the new guys because they are making the marks. They making history. You know what I'm saying? We just giving you throwbacks of history. They making history. So, of course, we'd rather see them do it first. But the exhibitions are cool, especially when they're evenly matched or when they're closely matched. So somebody like myself and Anderson Silva, it would probably be more like a real fight, just like a Vitor Belfort, because me being older now gives them a chance to come up to my level. Because I'm older and slowed down a little bit, now they might have a chance. In my heyday, they would not have had a chance, trust me. Now it gives them a little bit more of a chance. So we call it an exhibition. But I know they want to take me out because of my name and what I did in my past.
Sure.
You hear me? So you got to be careful. So when people call me about exhibitions, I tell them the first thing is I have to look at this like it's a real fight because though I'm not out there to hurt them, they're out there trying to hurt me. And I got to know that. So I got to be able to survive, be able to protect myself, be able to defend myself. And if I need to take one of them out in the process, I need to be able to do that too. So when you call me for an exhibition, I'm not looking at it as an exhibition. I'm looking at it as I better get in shape because he coming to try to get me.
Yeah.
And I got to make sure I keep him in check.
Part of that competitive nature that you always got as well.
It's just what the truth is.
So I heard the story that you played a basketball game before boxing in a match. Is that actually true?
That's very true.
Tell me more about that.
Well, boxers had never been guys that were known as being multidimensional. So they thought, you know, I saw Dion play basketball. I mean, play football and baseball. I saw Bo Jackson play football and baseball.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. So if there's any boxer that could do two sports, guess who would that be?
You.
Roy Jones Jr. So if you pound for pound the best, you should be able to go out and play a basketball game and defend your title that same night. And you have the, you have everything necessary to be able to do that. You have the capabilities to do it because you're your own promoter and you're on a basketball team. So why not try it?
Yeah, why not? Well, yeah, especially because nobody else has that story now.
We only live once.
Right, yeah.
You understand me?
It's
true,
that.
Just like I told him at the Hall of Fame, I brought y'all in entertaining y'all. I'm going out entertaining y'all. And I had to spit on a verse at the Hall of Fame.
Who does that?
From Pensacola, Florida.
You.
Exactly.
That's right. Roy Jones Jr., I really appreciate you again for stopping by. Enjoyed our conversation. Stay blessed and have a good rest of the week. And hope to have you back in here soon sometime.
God bless you and stand blessed is key. You keep God first, everything else is easy.